Howdy, everybody. Welcome back to Reading Heathens, the unholy and wholly uninformed Bible study podcast. I'm your host, Adam B., here with your other host, Daniel T. How you doing, Daniel?
Doing great, Adam. Just sitting here on a Sunday, like we do. It's the Sunday.
Daniel, I'm trying to be amped up to keep the energy high because we're guestless this week.
Yeah, we got to make up the energy for a third person who, well, actually our guests, usually they bring all the energy.
That's what I'm saying. That's why I'm amped up. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I'm amped up.
Also,
how are you doing?
I'm doing bad.
Why are you doing so bad?
Well, Paulette's out of town, has been out of town for a long time, yeah. And nothing's really going well in my life, so I've been just lying around a lot.
Well, I don't know if that's true. I saw you with a dog the other day around a green screen. That had to have been fun.
Well, yeah, you know, sometimes I have to act like a human being to go to work.
Yeah.
But I have realized, listen, if you're out there and you're clinically depressed and you don't want to get out of bed, I know that feeling of not wanting to do anything at all in bed. Like, you can't even, like, you know, convince yourself to watch something because that's depressing. Get yourself a Nintendo Switch because nothing enables bed behavior like a Nintendo Switch, and just casually plodding through like games without moving.
I think that was what they had in mind with a Nintendo Switch. I think that's a lot. Maybe you should start a I Play Nintendo Switch from Bed Facebook group. Have you seen those commercials with Chris Rock? Chris Rock wants you to join Facebook groups.
No, I haven't seen those commercials. Yeah. You know this about me, Daniel. I hate Facebook. I think it's an evil corporation. I'm not on it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I'm not on it either, except for when some website like Spotify or something tricks me into signing in with Facebook again, and then it reactivates my Facebook.
What? No, don't sign in with Facebook.
I know, but sometimes I get tricked. You know, I just start clicking things too fast. Do you ever start just clicking through windows because you don't care? And then before you know it, I'm signed in. Before you know it, Facebook got me again, you know?
No, I try to be pretty savvy about what I'm doing online, Daniel. I'm not as good as some of my friends are about internet privacy, but I'm over here trying to protect myself by having a podcast where I spout things off that could absolutely ruin any future political ambitions or
yeah. Oh boy, I think about that all the time. Well, just like what how horrible would it be if people actually started listening?
Yeah, right. We had a big download month this month, Daniel. We gone viral.
Yeah, we gone viral. Not so much, you know, like the Great Plague, but we kind of remember that time everybody was worried about mosquitoes. We're that kind of viral.
You know, what? Or, what are you talking about in the Bible? Or are you talking? Sometimes you say things with no context, Daniel.
we're like the West Nile viral. You know, it was the West Nile was like the smaller of all the viral scares. You know. It's like no one really got it, but some people did. But it was from the mosquitoes, so everyone was scared. That's kind of like what this podcast is.
Yeah, well, I was going to lie about it and say we got 20 million downloads.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, no, we can be like the coronavirus where like, you know, everyone's like hearing about it, but like, you know, no one really has it yet.
Well, Daniel, I think you're a little out of touch because there are a lot of confirmed cases in the U.S. at this point. There have been thousands of deaths. Yeah, so I've been a little bit nervous about that.
Yeah.
but
oh boy,
whatever the case
fun.
Is, we are viral. We're a big podcast now, and all the terrible things we've said are going to come back and bite us in the ass. And Daniel, maybe this episode most of all, because you and I alone are going to talk about the Passover.
Yeah, this is something that we didn't anticipate. We feel like we're getting pretty good at this podcast, but you don't really want to it's not a time for the Christians to be talking about Passover. You know, it's like because the Christian faith almost like ignores this chapter. Like the really only part they really get into is the whole blood thing and the like, oh, we get to leave now. But the whole like actual Passover part is kind of I feel like it's kind of ignored.
Well, yeah, it's not a big part of the culture we grew up in. And just to reiterate, Daniel, we or our guests are not claiming to be representatives of any religion. I grew up in the church, so did you, but I don't think either one of us considers ourselves to be Christians.
Yeah.
Well, I think, I mean, I'm going to hell. That's the only thing I believe about any religion is that I am most likely going to hell.
Please say hick. You're going to hick.
I'm going to H-E double hockey sticks.
The bad
parts. And if you're offended by us reading about the Passover like we just pulled a Bible out of the hotel drawer, please turn this one off. I understand and agree with you. And someday, Daniel, I would think we should have some representatives of like, you know, engaged people of the faith, except yeah. I'm sure they would consider this podcast to be somewhat offensive.
You know what? I thought about contacting a pally that is very much like in the Christian religion, because I think that they are a listener. But even still, I'm still a little worried, and I haven't done it. I might, but then again, like I don't know. I'll test the waters, but yeah, I thought about doing some little cold calls to maybe some scholarly peoples, maybe some people who are know some things, and you know, just kind of like, hey, here's an episode. But I think that would require me to go back and listen to like the least offensive episode and send them that one. You know, like
yeah,
maybe
I don't know, Daniel.
Most reasonable.
I think our niche is to continue to be unholy and uninformed.
Yeah. Yeah, and having some informed people on here will really just muddy the yeast, as they say.
I've never heard that in my life, but I agree with you. I think it would also be a big bummer. I think it would
they'd
totally
like,
kill our vibe.
They'd be like, guys, why are you saying this? You know, why?
Why are you acting like insensitive, unintelligent assholes?
It's like I gotta say, fellas, this is important to me and millions of others.
Well, here we go, nailing our own coffin nails inside of our own graves. I don't know what that means, Daniel. I'm trying to keep the energy high. Can you hear it? Is my voice still amped
yeah.
up?
Yeah. Let's start at the Passover and the Festival of Unleavened Breads.
That's what I've got written in the New International Version as the chapter header here.
The
starting on Exodus 12. All right, here we go. This is a long one.
Oh, yeah, buckle up.
The Lord said to Moses and Aaron in Egypt, this month... Hang on one second. I got a mint in my mouth. I'm going to spit it out.
One of them Altoids.
I think maybe the Lord is giving me faltering lips to prevent what's about to happen. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron in Egypt, this month is to be for you the first month of your year. Tell the whole community of Israel that on the 10th day of this month, each man is to take a lamb for his family, one for each household. If any household is too small for a whole lamb, they must share one with their nearest neighbor, having taken into account the number of people there are. You are to determine the amount of lamb needed in accordance with what each person will eat. The animals you choose must be year-old males without defect, and you must take them from the sheep or the goats. Take care of them until the 14th day of the month, when all the members of the community of Israel must slaughter them at twilight. Then they are to take some of the blood and put it on the sides and tops of the door frames of the houses where they eat the lambs. That same night they are to eat the meat roasted over the fire along with bitter herbs and bread made without yeast. Do not eat the meat raw or boiled in water, but roast it over a fire with the head, legs, and internal organs. Do not leave any of it till morning. If some is left till morning, you must burn it. This is how you are to eat it, with your cloak tucked into your belt, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. Eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover.
Oh, all right. That was a lot of information, a lot of food, a lot of lamb talk, but a couple things there that are my favorite.
Uh-huh.
I love that you're supposed to take an account of how much each person will eat. So you're just like Jedediah, how much lamb you gonna eat? And then it's like Sarah, how much lamb you gonna eat? And then everybody just knows. And if you don't eat your portion, everybody's gonna kind of be looking at you, kind of like a Korean barbecue. If you're gonna order it, you gotta eat it kind of situation.
Or just like an office pizza order. That's something that happens to me a lot, because here's what happens with an office pizza order, Daniel. As a vegetarian, everyone's like, get me, like, you know, a salami, ham, you know, sausage pie, and then also get me a fish pizza. And they order all these meat pizzas, and there's one cheese pizza, and everybody takes one piece of meat pizza and then another piece of cheese, and there's no cheese pizza left for the vegetarian.
Well, no, see, that's why anybody getting food for an office, I hate to see a veggie pizza. However, there's always a bunch of veggie pizza left over, but that's the, like, fail-safe for a vegetarian, because no one wants veggie pizza.
Not even the vegetarian wants veggie pizza.
Yeah, because veggie pizza sucks. Speaking as one. They're too moist, you know.
Well, also, you're still eating pizza. It's not making it healthier by getting some extra vegetable calories on. Maybe you're getting some fiber or whatever.
Yeah.
But if you're a vegetarian and you're eating pizza, it's already like the bad for you ton of dairy option. So just eat that cheese.
You know what? At a lot of catering, you get breakfast every time. And breakfast is always kind of problematic because it's like going to be cheap, at least in our, at least in my productions. A lot of times the vegan option is better because it's going to be made fresher. It wasn't made in mass. So, like, you get the vegan option, but, like, I look around and I'm like, look, I don't think I see anybody with Chacos on. I'm going to, so there's probably not too many vegans around here, you know.
Well, I think a good way to identify a vegan in a crowd is if they've got their cloak tucked into their belt and they're wearing their sandals.
And staff in hand.
Staff in hand while they're nomming on a slice.
Yeah, you only get one hand to eat your lamb. Also, they said you have to cook the lamb with the internal organs in it. That was weird, right? It's like you can't gut it. You're just sticking a whole lamb on a spit.
Well, here's what I think is happening, Daniel. I think the Lord knows, of course he knows, that this is he or she or they or them. I'm not picking the Lord's gender. But the Lord knows they're about to leave Egypt. So he's like, you guys are going to be on the run for a little bit. It's time to have a big old protein meal, and you better eat all of it. You better stuff yourselves, because you don't even know what's coming. Yeah. And you don't want to have to take these lambs around with you anyway. And I didn't remember that the lambs slaughtered for their blood on the doorposts got eaten. So yeah, I'm glad. I'm glad it's not just for the blood.
Yeah, you either eat it or burn it. Also, it says that the lamb can come from sheep or goats. And I might be realizing something for the first time. Is lamb just any... Is it just like a young sheep or goat?
This might be a translation thing for us. Yeah. Because, yeah, by this logic, maybe a baby cow is a lamb also. Because they had to clarify it's got to be a sheep or a goat, one of those square-eyed animals. Anything else crazy in that passage before I jump on to verse 12?
No, I'm just hungry now.
All right. Verse 12. On that same night, I will pass through Egypt and strike down every firstborn of both people and animals, and I will bring judgment on all the gods of Egypt. I am the Lord. The blood will be a sign for you on the houses where you are, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you. No destructive plague will touch you when I strike Egypt. Daniel, this is something that made no sense to me when I was a child. Mm-hmm. I was like, because I had this very personal relationship with God, you know? God knew exactly who Adam Bennett was. He was God's good little boy going to church every Sunday. But this makes a lot more sense to me now, the idea that God doesn't have time to know everybody. He's like, listen, if you want to survive my wrath, you better clearly mark like your doorpost with the blood, because I'm coming through in a berserker rage.
Well, this is also, we're talking about currently, we're talking about a God who is looking to like have people prove that they're ready to like worship some God, because he's like, you know, he pretty much made the plagues happen to prove his power. And then he made them go through all these ceremonies. Like he wants some people who are ready to put in some footwork. Like he's definitely looking for some go-getters right now.
And let me tell you, if I'm going to be a go-getter for someone, it's going to be the God of the Israelites. He's done the plagues, and now he's bringing judgment on all the gods of Egypt. Yeah. I want to see that movie. Oh, I want to see the Lord with his you know, robe tucked into his belt and his staff doing battle with like Horus and you know, any other Egyptian gods.
Oh God, I didn't even know about that one. How about the one that looks like a cat? That one?
Daniel, we haven't clocked any listeners in Egypt yet. In spite of our viral fame, we have not yet penetrated the Egyptian market, and I'm glad, because the Bible really does require, if you're trying to do a politically correct, uneducated podcast about the Bible, which you really can't, if you're trying, though, it just requires constant apologies.
Here's what I envision for the Lord versus the Egyptian gods movie. Okay, it's represented in a high school auditorium, and there's a basketball game going on. And what it is it's one kid who's he's not scrawny, just like kind of unassuming. You don't know what's happening, and he's playing against five just really tall, jacked ballers. You know. And he just does some crazy hoops and beats all of them. And then the crowd goes wild, and there's like mascots.
The Lord to Space Jam?
Yeah, kind of like that. Kind of like Space Jam, but maybe not without aliens, you know, or maybe without aliens.
Daniel, before we move on to verse 14, I just want to say we're 20 minutes into this recording. We're not even through the first chunk of this massive chapter, so I think we're going to split this into two episodes.
Yeah, that's probably fair.
All right. So I'm picking up with verse 14. This is a day you are to commemorate. For the generations to come, you shall celebrate it as a festival to the Lord, a lasting ordinance. For 7 days you are to eat bread made without yeast. On the first day, remove the yeast from your houses, for whoever eats anything with yeast in it from the first day through the seventh must be cut off from Israel. Mm. On the first day, hold a sacred assembly, and another one on the seventh day. Do no work at all on these days, except to prepare food for everyone to eat. That is all you may do.
Okay, well, okay then. No yeast, duly noted.
Daniel, I think I just realized I've always been going to hell, man. Like, Passover is a Jewish holiday, not really recognized at all, at least in my experience, in the Christian church. But the Old Testament is still part of the Christian Bible. This is, like, still the history of the Lord God of the Christians.
Mm-hmm.
And he's telling you this is something you're supposed to do forever. It's like celebrate the Passover and recognize it. Never really even talked about it that much.
Yeah, I mean, outside of, you know, a few movies and some stories, it's really just not even, like, brought up that much. I did
because
read
it would
some...
it would be hard to do that instead yeah. of watching football or whatever Christian Americans do.
Just, like, leaning like a, what kind of bread? What? No.
What about hot dog buns? Crackers. No. You have to cut up the hot dogs and put them on saltines.
It's like, no, hamburger sundaes. Hamburger sundaes is a tradition in this house. I don't care what the old, that's the old lord. I did see some research that tried to pull some Christian stuff into this story. And they said there was a little bit of symbolism with the lamb and everything, because as we move on in the Bible, Jesus, old JC, gets... You know, he gets, you know, compared to a lamb a lot of times. You know,
yeah, but I mean, there's a lot of more shepherding to come in the Bible. I don't think you can.
Yeah, you definitely can't just take every time they talk about lambs. I mean, lamb is pretty much, it's like all they're eating in the Old Testament. It's like cows, a little bit of cows, mostly lamb. Lamb costs were way down back in those days. These days, you're going to be paying what? $10, $15 a pound at Sprouts for some lamb. Back then, lousy with lamb, you know? Just lamb lousy.
I disagree, Daniel. I think people were eating meat less in general back in the Bible times.
Yeah.
It was a delicacy.
Game changers.
This is verse 17. Celebrate the festival of unleavened bread, because it was on this very day that I brought your divisions out of Egypt. Celebrate this day as a lasting ordinance for the generations to come. In the first month, you are to eat bread made without yeast from the evening of the 14th day until the evening of the 21st day. For 7 days, no yeast is to be found in your houses. And anyone, whether foreigner or native-born, who eats anything with yeast in it must be cut off from the community of Israel. Eat nothing made with yeast. Wherever you live, you must eat unleavened bread. Now, this is wild, because I always thought that was to celebrate, like, they were rushing out of Egypt, or to commemorate. They're leaving Egypt, mm-hmm. and they don't have time to let the bread rise, right? They don't have time for that luxury. But even before they've exited Egypt, before they're on the run... The Lord is like, look, this is going to be a ceremony. Like,
yeah.
I'm setting up this holiday right here. And it's a worker's holiday. You don't do any work.
Yeah. Is that still, do people take off for 7 days? I guess some people probably do.
I would imagine, like, Orthodox, like, very devout people do. But I think a lot of people observe Passover and still go to work.
Yeah. No, that's the thing. Like, I have heard that it was because they were getting out so fast, and, you know, spoiler alert, that comes up later in the same chapter. So, look, you know, I don't ever want to accuse the Bible of contradicting itself, but there are some questions that could be answered. But we'll cross that bridge when we get to that yeast.
I think this, from a practical standpoint, presuming. Or making the dumb assumption that people writing this, whoever wrote this into the Bible, was like, hey, this is kind of like a sweet union, right? You join our religion and you get 7 days off, which is a long holiday back in the days when people worked extra hard.
Yeah, it's like you get Sunday off. Like, back in the day, you would get Sunday off, but only kind of Sunday. You still had, like, Sunday chores you would have to do, you know?
I'm just saying, this is something that would be worth getting my dick cut for. I would get circumcised for that 7 days a year.
Because that's definitely going to happen. You ain't stepping anywhere near that unleavened bread with your foreskin on.
This is verse 21. Then Moses summoned all of the elders of Israel and said to them, go at once and select the animals for your families and slaughter the Passover lamb. Take a bunch of hyssop, dip it into the blood in the basin, and put some blood on the top and both sides of the door frame. None of you shall go out the door of your house until morning. When the Lord goes through the land to strike down the Egyptians, he will see the blood on the tops and sides of the door frame and will pass over that doorway. And he will not permit the destroyer to enter your houses and strike you down. Ooh, the destroyer.
Yeah.
I want to see the destroyer.
Yeah, I want to. That would be fucking awesome.
I'm going to go ahead through verse 24, hoping we see him. Obey these instructions as a lasting ordinance for you and your descendants. When you enter the land that the Lord will give you as he promised, observe this ceremony. And when your children ask you, what does this ceremony mean to you? Then tell them, it is the Passover sacrifice to the Lord, who passed over the houses of the Israelites in Egypt and spared our homes when he struck down the Egyptians. Then the people bowed down and worshiped. The Israelites did just what the Lord commanded Moses and Aaron. Hang on with me here, people. There's like three more verses. At midnight, the Lord struck down the firstborn in Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh, who sat on the throne, to the firstborn of the prisoner who was in the dungeon, and the firstborn of the livestock as well. Pharaoh and all his officials and all the Egyptians got up during the night, and there was a loud wailing in Egypt, for there was not a house without someone dead. And that's not the end of the chapter, but that's the end of the text in this episode.
Yeah, that's a good spot. Ooh, that got dark. And with someone reading it to me, it got even like even spookier.
Because you felt like it might be on the receiving end of the destroyer.
The destroyer, which I assume is which I assumed was a like a fucking just an angel, but some people think of it as a demon from Satan. Some people think that God just let he's just like opened the door and Satan was like, oh damn, we can go kill people down in on earth for a minute.
I like that idea that the Lord is contracting demons to do his work.
Yeah.
How do I get that job? If I go to hell, how do I get to be like the badass destroyer of the Lord?
Yeah, I mean that wouldn't be a bad job. I sent you a picture there. Just real quick, it's a picture of what hyssop is.
I can't look at it right now.
Nah, never mind. Anyways, you should look at it later because I think it's the stuff that used to grow on the side of the road in Arkansas.
Well, yeah, that is like I think that might be something that we had growing up.
Yeah,
a worldwide plant.
Yeah, good for wiping blood. Yeah, I don't know. That's another. See, this is something that I think about a lot as we read the Bible, and it makes me wish that I was creative and good at things, because a person could read through the Bible like this and just write script after script of like just badass movies where, you know, you think of yourself as like the someone who lives in hell, contracted through Satan. Who essentially subcontracts you to go through and kill a bunch of Egyptian kids one day, you know, and then you do that and then you have like an internal struggle. And then I don't know. See, that's the part where I'm not creative enough. But you see what I'm saying?
See, I think the way you do it, Daniel, is you make the destroyer more repentant and conflicted than God, you know, mm-hmm. Like you start out being this hellspawn. And maybe this is the Lord using as an opportunity where he needs something terrible to happen to change the heart of a demon.
Mm.
He goes through and he's killing all the firstborn, including those baby little lammy pies. And then at the end of it, he's heartbroken because he sees the injustice of it.
This is kind of like the plot of The Mandalorian, you know? Guy was sent out to do something. And then he didn't kill the baby lamb, and now he's on the run. See, that's the story that you need to tell. Is the one destroyer who didn't destroy and saved a young Egyptian boy.
Oh, and then he's like a cool demon apprentice.
Yeah.
Who's like angry at God for having killed, you know, all the Egyptians.
Yeah. Oh boy. We'll send scripts around town.
Between this episode and the next one, you and I are going to do some deep prayer and repentance.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll be back to finish the Passover story on the next episode.
Yeah.
Daniel, you got anything you want to plug?
Yeah, it's weird. This is normally when we can count on the guests to talk for a minute and we can chill out. This is a good time to say send us those emails. And also to remind people, because there could be some newer people, we always just say this without explaining. We're essentially part of the Hosted Pod Network, where consists basically of just me, Adam, and our pal Schaefer. That's about it. But anyways, we send us an email at hostedpod at gmail.com and just send us an email with any questions or comments or any hatred. Also, find us on Twitch. Twitch is Hosted Pod on Twitch, where we'll have a bunch of live streams, sometimes just my 3D printer. There's a good show where Schaefer cooks, and that one's actually fun to watch. You can rewatch them there. And then find us again at Hosted Pod on Instagrams.
Yes, please do. And thank you out there if you are listening. Thanks for listening all the way to the end of the episode, even. But we've seen a lot more downloads this month, so that's really great. Thanks for listening to this show. Sometimes it's good, sometimes it's bad. A lot of the time, I have to remember that I'm supposed to sound like I'm not miserable, and I gotta try to push my voice into a higher register.
Yeah,
which I'll definitely be doing on the next episode of Reading Heathens. We'll catch you next time. Bye-bye.
This time of fear, when prayer so often proved in vain, hope seemed like the summer birds to swiftly flown away. Yet now I'm standing here, I'm standing with heart so full I can't explain, seeking for